right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Yes, that is Emperor Norton's standing marching band. Mad Squirrel. No, Mad Scientist March? What is it?
Mad Squirrel March.
It is Mad Squirrel. Mad Squirrel March. That's what you are listening to. The top of this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 192, Steampunked.
Yes, we were steampunked this weekend at the Steampunked World Fair in New Jersey.
In Piscataway, New Jersey, at the Radisson Hotel.
Right.
And it was a good event. I enjoyed myself.
I have to say also, if you like the music that you're hearing, check out the band, as OG said, Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. It's ENSMB.com.
That's right, ENSMB.com.
Right.
And if you do a search on YouTube, by the way, lots of videos.
From the Steampunk Fair?
From the World's Fair and from a bunch of other events
for the band
played as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there are some videos for the fair, for the event as well. But for the band, there's a bunch of stuff on the YouTube.
Nice.
So, the event.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the event.
Okay.
I had a good time.
A little awkward.
I thought that the setup left a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, so they, you know, it was almost an indoor Renaissance festival. Sort of, but
indoor,
they had
outdoor.
Some outdoor stuff. But the dealers were kind of set up in hotel rooms.
All right. I didn't have a problem so much with the dealers being set up in the smaller rooms, with the exception of the fact that the dealers seem to have brought somewhere in the range of 60 or 70 friends apiece, and were cramming them all into these tiny little rooms,
right,
along with all of their merch. And then as a customer, you would walk in, and you would have to, like,
make your way
through the crowd of people just talking and sitting on beds, eating and drinking, just to look at some stuff.
You know, let's start by explaining what this whole steampunk thing is. For those of you who don't know, it's sort of a, you call it a movement.
It is a movement.
A genre.
It is a genre.
Where the participants and fans and the genre supposes that technological advances that we enjoy, say, now were created at the turn of the century and the turn of the 20th century.
Right.
18th in, I mean, you know, the 1800s into the 1900s.
Yeah, we're looking at like, what, like 1860, 70?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not that early.
Oh, is it 80, 90, 1890?
I think it's, yeah, I think it's like early 20th century.
1920, 1910, thereabouts, somewhere in that thereabouts,
yeah,
probably.
I'd say World War I for sure.
The Victorian era.
But some of the technological advances have been made at that time and reimagined with steam power, lots of gears and brass.
Right, mechanics, as opposed to digital.
Right, right.
And whatnot.
And even, you know, and some people have gone as far as to create computers that that have the look, you know what I mean? And there's definitely an aesthetic.
There's an aesthetic that exists.
And so we got to experience the, shall we say, the full range of the aesthetic.
Now, before we go any further, I'd like to say that this isn't necessarily, anything that we're about to say isn't necessarily a reflection on the event itself insofar as how the event was run.
Okay.
Because I say that the event was still run well.
I'm not saying the event isn't run well, however, I would attend again.
Absolutely.
However, the range
fan base
of the the
left a little to be desired.
Yeah, I want to put it right. The range of the exploration of the aesthetic left much to be desired.
Well, we should say that some people didn't explore the aesthetic at all.
Right. Some people, you know, it does answer the question, what will I do with the other 9 months when the Ren Faire is not happening?
Yeah. Yes. Some people are making the assumption that from Elizabethan England to about the Victorian period, we all wore the same exact clothing and had the same exact feel.
Yes.
And then we kind of just added some stuff to it.
So if you can imagine 400 years of history, with some cogs and wheels glued to it.
Yeah, there shouldn't be pirates.
And you know what? I don't even have a problem so much with the pirates per se, because, well, yeah, I know. I mean, it's not entirely there, but, you know, these are people who are taking the aesthetic of steampunk and applying it to some other aesthetic that they enjoy.
Maybe I should say that there is a way to work pirate into the aesthetic that was not executed well by most of the pirates that I saw at the event.
And they also presuppose or suppose that ballooning is very big. Airships.
That kind of thing.
Those kinds of things. So one could, you know, make an argument, and I know that there's stuff out there. In fact, in the second segment tonight, we're going to talk about a comic book.
Oh, okay.
That actually has
some of this
part of that aesthetic,
in it?
Yeah, in it. Excellent. So that might explain maybe the pirate thing a little bit more. But I know there's a lot of reference material, and there's more coming all the time. Today, in fact, I just bought a T-shirt that was a giant bumblebee, but the bumblebee was all steampunk. He all had gears and everything.
Yeah, all like clockwork and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So we should also say that if you like the steampunk genre, you think it's something you might like to be involved in, either through literature or whatever, there's plenty out there. We reviewed a book, not reviewed, but we discussed the release of a book a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what the name of that book is. I probably should have had that at hand.
Boilerplate? Is that what you're talking about?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
There was a novel we discussed. I don't remember. It was steampunk superhero.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I don't remember what the name of it was. So go back a few episodes and you'll find it. But Boilerplate would be another example, yes, that we have discussed in the past here on the show. So there's plenty out there for you to do and see and get involved, and whether you get to the point of where you want to create a persona and have some garb and dress up and go to these events and hear and, you know, and do things and be involved, that may not be for everybody. I understand that. It's definitely for OG. So
what are you saying?
I'm just saying you indoctrinated this weekend, didn't you?
It's been a long time coming.
Uh-huh.
I've been toying with it for a while.
Right.
And I did start I did make the baby steps into the world of my, I'm preparing for next year. Steampunk World's Fair 2011, the Roaring Twenties.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tagline.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah. If you go to steampunkworldsfair.com,
nice.
Which is the website for the event.
Right.
They already, they have up the vendors list so you can check out who was there.
Right.
They got some like videos and photo albums and stuff like that up. And they have, see you next year for Steampunk World's Fair 2011, the Roaring Twenties.
Nice.
That's the tag for it.
So
I did start.
Yes.
Is the point.
And it would seem that the indoctrinating piece of costume, if you will, that everyone must buy.
Right.
Is the goggles.
And I can't explain to you why the goggles, right? I've just accepted it as it is an aesthetic that runs within the genre.
Right.
Okay. And
much
there
in
are
the way,
some really cool ones out there.
Yeah. Much
There's
in the way
really
that
shitty
if,
ones out there.
Yeah, much in the way that if you are a person who wants to become involved in going to Renaissance festivals and so on and so forth, and you're a woman, you have to buy a bustier.
Right.
Right, or a
corset.
Corset. Right.
Bodice. I guess bodice would be fair, right? Corset would probably be...
accurate.
Would be
steampunk.
Steampunk.
Right, yeah. Right, because the
different
time.
Cut,
yeah.
Different yeah. Type of
gotcha.
Clothing altogether.
Gotcha.
I could tell you that my first, when I started
Your first
fair,
bodice?
That's my first bodice. It was a little snug. No, when I started fair, my first piece
so well.
was a sword.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
I picked up a Starfire event. Dagger was my first fair piece. But yeah, so I did start my steampunk.
Yes, with a pair of goggles.
Fancy goggles.
With some
by
attachments.
The way.
Yeah, they're nice.
I like them very much so.
They are very nice, sir.
You have the name of that fine gentleman?
It's actually the company is called PH Factor.
Right.
And it's phfactor.ws.
Yeah, I don't know what the .ws stands for. That's a new one to me,
well,
but whatever it is.
Well, he's in Tacoma, Washington. So.
Oh, so maybe it's somehow he got a state.
Maybe.
You don't see that very often. But anyway, he makes some really nice stuff.
He does.
A lot of the times with goggles, I've noticed, because I've been exploring this. We've
right.
both kind of been looking
sure.
at it for probably, a year or two now, maybe?
I'd say a year.
But, you
yeah.
know, I would think not. No, I think it's almost two San Diegos ago is when it started.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe. And the biggest problem with goggles normally is that you see them and you're like, wow, these are fantastic. And then you look at the price tag and you're like, there's no way I'm spending $150 on this horse shit. It's just not
yeah.
happening.
Well, because by and large, the bulk of what's happening is that people, and rightly so, people are buying $7 pair of goggles.
Right.
Of welding goggles at Home Depot.
Right.
Going home and they're getting a brass or a copper or a, you know, some metallical paint.
Right.
They're painting the outside of it, you know, because brass and copper and these are the colors of the steampunk
right, right,
movement.
Right.
And then they're selling them for $50.
Right. Well, yes and no. I mean, I think when this first started a couple years back, they were selling for much more than 50.
Right.
And there was no way I could justify it.
Right.
It just was not going to. If that was the case, it would have never happened.
Exactly.
And then I started seeing some ones that were a little bit cheaper.
Right.
But the quality on them was.
But now. They're progressing much further.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of artistic nuances coming into it. There are sculpted bits. There are attachments being put on there.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of things. It's not as simple as it was in the old days. It's much more an art form, if you will. And again, if you want to go over to phfactor.ws and check out his items over there, you'll get a feel for the high, what I consider the high end product.
Yeah, he's got some good quality product for a reasonable price.
Right. And the other thing is now also is there are people who are making special lenses.
Yes.
For the thing that are designed lenses for whatever reason. There are people who are not buying goggles and then changing them. They're actually making new goggles. There are some people who are actually going to antique stores and finding antique goggles, not just antique goggles, but antique anything from the time period and then in some way altering it in order to fit their persona or whatever they're doing with it. I guess turn of the century antique sales must be up.
Yes.
Because we're seeing a lot of that stuff kind of coming and going really
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
pocket watches, yep. Any sort of little mechanical doodads from the turn of the century.
Well, that's really, it kind of focuses on the mechanical rather than the digital.
Exactly. And so there you go. And a couple of other notable things we saw at the fair. Terrific fella we met. His booth, if you will, is the Steampunk Funk Bazaar and Emporium. Was one of the dealers we met. You can check that out at steampunkfunk.net. And I believe the gentleman's name was Montague.
His real name?
I don't know. But that said, he had a great selection, again, of what I consider kind of reasonably priced but really good-looking stuff. He had some stuff that was altered. He had some stuff that was fresh. He had a lot of the top hats and bowlers and things for sale like that. Lots of jewelry, turn-of-the-century jewelry. You know, what you would – I'd say he's – of the people there, would you say he maybe had the best accessories collection?
I was going to – yeah, and I think he put the most effort into the overall presentation as
exactly.
well.
Exactly, and he had a persona which he kept while he was selling the stuff and all that. And, you know, and his display was very nice, and he was very pleasant, and that's great. Check that out over at steampunkfunk.net, and you can see some of the wares that he has. Did you call up that site, by the way?
I did. He actually doesn't have a lot on his site yet.
Oh, yeah?
Either he took a lot down. You know, his inventory might be traveling.
Yeah,
it
comes and goes.
There's not a lot up there right now, although I have a feeling that you'll probably start seeing some more in the coming in the coming days.
And then another one, another vendor I went to was Tea and Absinthe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, and you can go to teaandabsinthe.com. That's TEAAND and Absinthe, which is ABSINTHE.com. TEAAndAbsinthe.com. And they sold exactly what their name implies, tea and absinthe and tea and absinthe supplies.
Yes.
And candy. Yes, I had absinthe truffles the first day I was there, and they were delicious. But they were, of course, gone by the time you got there, OG. But they were delicious.
All right.
And they sell all sort of, since absinthe is now legal in the States.
It is.
They sell accessories and reproductive accessories for you to enjoy the alcoholic absinthe at home, how to prepare it properly and so on and so forth.
Right.
So, so check them out over there for some absinthe products. And you know, I don't drink, but you know, I enjoyed the absinthe the couple times that I've had it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, and they say the U.S. stuff is just as good as the import stuff, unless you get it from Romania, which is like poison.
And you can actually see them coming up in a couple other events in May and June and July and August.
Oh, yeah? Absinthe.
Yeah.
They have a thing on their site about that?
They do. They're going to actually be at Penzic, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. They're going to be at Penzic. Well, you could see a crossover there with some of that stuff.
Oh, undoubtedly.
I think it's pending whether or not they're going to be at the Southern Connecticut Renaissance Festival. I should say that a lot of these vendors I've noticed are getting booths at Ren Fairs.
Yes, because it seems that the genres have a large crossover population.
Not only that, but I think that they I think that they're also almost using it as a recruitment tool.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
because Ren Fairs at this point get a large number of people through the gate, pretty much any fair you go to, with a couple of exceptions. So it's kind of a means of introducing people to the genre that maybe don't know it, aren't familiar with it, and why not do it? So.
And yes, but we should say, you know, you don't have to dress up to enjoy steampunk.
Oh, absolutely not. There's just be a fan of the literature and of the movies and comics and art.
Just of the aesthetic, the art itself, and the sort of... new things that are being made out of old things and so on and so forth. And not to be outdone because OG got his goggles and I wasn't ready.
All right, that's fair.
To start my dress-up persona for
that's
steampunk.
That's fair. You're allowed.
But I did make a purchase. I got a 2 gig. Is it 2 gig or 20 gig?
Oh, yeah.
2 gig steampunk flash drive.
Yeah. Who did you get that from? Do you remember the vendor?
I don't remember the name of the vendor. I'm really upset about it, too, because they were really nice guys, and I think I lost the card.
Oh, that sucks.
But it looks, clearly it has a USB end, and then it's a glass bubble where you can see sort of the insides of, the circuitry area there.
Right.
And it has an orange light in it that looks like an old style light bulb, you know, and when it's plugged in, it kind of pulsates and goes on and goes off, and it has a brass sort of end to it. So I have it plugged in there. It kind of pulses away. It's a good flash drive, and it's aesthetically pleasing. So I didn't walk out of there empty handed.
I'm happy for you.
Yes, sir. So there it is. So check out steampunk, in whatever genre you enjoy it in. And yes, so that was our weekend, more or less.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Universal Soldier 4, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren in 3D.
Of course.
That's it. I'm not saying anything else. I just want to put out there that it's
I think it's brave of them to go direct to video 3D because it's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Mm. All right. We're moving past this now.
Sure.
Because why stay on it? Shia LaBeouf, however we pronounce his name. Apparently, he's on a roll this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came out. He slammed Transformers 2.
Oh.
He slammed Indiana Jones.
Slow down. Is that like three separate things there? He came out?
Yes. It's three separate things.
So he's gay?
No.
Oh.
He slammed Transformers 2.
By saying?
He recognized it as shite,
pretty much. Good.
Nice. I don't have the exact quote, but.
Okay, good.
He slammed Indy.
And what did he say there?
It was shite.
Nice.
And then he said that.
That's good, because he's accurate so far.
And he said that he thinks that Transformers 3 is going to correct a lot of the problems with Transformers 2, that he has more confidence in it than he did in 2.
I see.
We'll see with that.
And what did he say about Indiana Jones 5?
I didn't hear a single lick about Indiana Jones 5.
I see.
So there it is.
Uh-huh. Did he say it was shite because he was in it?
No, he did not say it was shite.
Because that was a big part of the reason it was shite.
Well, there you go.
I'm sure
he doesn't want to point the finger at himself.
Well, no, not to mention the fact the other part is that Harrison Ford's 90.
That certainly didn't help, I guess. Although,
exactly.
I still say that I didn't mind that movie. So, I'm in the minority.
Yeah,
I understand.
You're easy, though.
I know.
You're just kind of easily pleased.
Do you have any news? 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Canceled.
No, not canceled.
Oh, really?
Apparently,
I thought it was shelved.
Apparently, there are two.
Oh.
Fox is doing one.
Oh, and Disney is not doing one.
And Disney is doing one.
The Disney one was shelved.
No, I think it's back on.
Oh.
And they're both moving forward.
Oh, boy.
So that'll be interesting.
Slated for a similar time frame?
Is
Will
Smith
likely playing?
I don't know. That because he was originally attached to the
as
Disney
Nemo.
One. And then that was yanked, I think. So that might have been part of the reworking of the script and the project.
What's the worst idea overall we can come up with? Oh, that works.
So if you go 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and then it's Captain Nemo, right, was the captain of the, what was the ship?
The Nautilus?
The Nautilus, right? And then you put him in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people consider League of Extraordinary Gentlemen to be steampunk. You like that? That was like a little circle right there.
Yeah, it is kind of steampunk.
Kind of steampunk.
A little bit.
Kind of the period, right?
Yeah.
Kind of works.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Okay.
Well, what would be an episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff if we didn't talk about Nathan Fillion?
It would be a normal episode.
Right.
We never talk about Nathan.
He doesn't come up very often, except that the rumor this week that's running all over the internet.
Castle canceled.
No, Castle renewed, actually.
Damn.
We'll get to that, though. Why, damn, it's a good show. You don't watch it. You don't get to have an opinion on that
show.
No, the rumor is that he is the one that's going to be portraying one Hank Pym.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In the possible Avengers and still Ant-Man movie that's in the works. Ant-Man, I think, is one of those.
I thought that was going to be animated.
There was talks that it was going to be animated, and that might be one of the first ones that Disney gets involved in.
Right.
But there's still the possibility of it being one of those low-budget ones that we talked about last week.
Right.
And Fillion is the name that's being thrown around. The guy who was originally cast to play, or who we thought was originally going to play Ant-Man, whose name is eluding me at this particular second, has said that he heard that the deal is all but signed with Fillion and that the announcement should be made around Comic-Con. Huh. So that's like 2 months away.
Wow.
So we'll see if that's true or not, but it is definitely on the rumor mill this week. But
okay,
since you mentioned Castle, which was not canceled, which has been renewed, let's talk TV. Law and Order.
Canceled.
Gary and Mary.
Only the original.
Yes, only the original. Gary and Married, canceled.
Was that canceled?
That was canceled.
Oh, poor Jay Moore.
What else was canceled? Flash Forward, canceled.
No surprise.
Heroes, canceled.
Canceled.
What else? I think that's it.
Heroes, also not a surprise.
Oh, Heroes, duh.
Heroes ended season one.
Renewed. Chuck. Coming back for another season. And then let's talk about two new shows.
Okay.
On the horizon.
Now, you force-fed me these before we taped the show today.
Force-feed you. I wanted you to be... You always say I don't send you the links. I don't tell you in advance.
True.
I wanted you to watch the trailers so that you can be educated.
All right, let's talk about the ABC.
The ABC one is
what,
called...
Is it a comedy?
I guess.
Is it a commu-drama?
I don't know.
Dramedy?
It's No Ordinary Family.
Yes.
Is the name
of
the show.
That's the name of it. And it's unbatter-dipped Michael Chiklis.
That's right.
Julie Benz.
That was also right.
As a husband and wife. And their two kids.
Right.
And they're going on some plane trip to Brazil. Some trip to Brazil.
Right.
They're on one of those little Buddy Holly killing planes.
Right. That crashes.
And crashes into some water. And the water is all glowy and weird. And they get superpowers.
Right.
Yeah, so Chiklis looks like he's indestructible and
has he could jump.
Can jump and do some stuff.
Right. Julie Benz is what?
Fast
super speed. The female daughter
right.
can read minds.
And the boy looks like something to do with math.
Yeah, science.
Calculating or
something. We should also say that Romani Malco, who is funny black guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, that guy.
He's in it also.
Okay.
I don't know. Looks interesting. I'll watch the first episode and
give it a
go.
Chance.
I'm not really giving it a lot of hope, though.
I'll tell you what I am giving a lot of hope, and that's NBC's answer to Heroes.
The Cape.
The Cape, which looks really good.
That looks interesting.
Yeah.
Keith David is in it.
Or is it David Keith?
No, it's Keith David. I confirmed.
Oh, you did? One of them's white.
Yeah, well,
this
David
is not
Keith
the white
might
one.
Be the white one. Keith David is in it for sure.
Uh-huh.
But he's not the lead.
Some guy who you see his face and you're like, yeah, that guy, but you don't know his name, is the lead.
David Lyons
yeah.
is the lead.
Yeah. He's been in some stuff, right? What's he been in?
He was Dr. Simon Brenner in 27 episodes of ER.
Yes. I knew he looked familiar. He was the Aussie. He was the Aussie doc in the last seasons of ER.
2008, 2009. There
yes,
you go.
Sir.
So that's where you
that's
know him
where
from.
I know him from. Even
was
better.
He good on ER?
Yeah, he was good on ER. Interesting character.
So
he's the only good cop, and he's framed for
like some sort of violent crime.
Yeah.
And he decides to...
He doesn't decide, sir. Yeah. He somehow ends up underground with... magical circus people.
Yeah, it's like they're like a circus.
I have no idea. And David Keith, without a top hat, seems to be the leader.
And he gets like this
magical cape, and becomes a superhero. But it all seems plausible when now the way we just said it, it sounds ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous.
Yet it all seems plausible
when you watch the trailer.
The trailer.
The trailer
yeah.
is really good. Also,
that's over on YouTube. You can find that. Just
yeah,
put in
both
the
of
cape.
Those I think are over at YouTube.
Yeah, they are. They're both.
Summer Glau. Also in this, as the Oracle, it would seem.
Right, and Summer Glau from that other TV
Serenity.
Show.
Oh, no, Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles, also
yes.
Dollhouse.
Right.
So
and one other. Wasn't she one other show?
She was on an episode of Angel.
Wasn't she a regular in another show?
No, not that I can think of.
None?
No.
Another Joss Whedon vehicle?
No, I don't think so. Glee? Was she on Glee? That?
Joss Whedon Glee episodes like this week.
It was last night.
Oh, it was? Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
I heard it was pretty funny.
Idina
Menzel.
Yeah, she's on it.
Anyway, you sure?
I'm pretty positive.
All right.
Pretty positive.
Thought she was in that other one.
No, no,
with the ship.
Nope.
Shaped like a bug.
Nope.
Okay.
Mosquito? No.
All right. Just saying.
So yeah, check out The Cape. Check out Ordinary Family. And I think with that, we might take our first break.
All right. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 190, Steampunked.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 192, Steampunked.
Uh-huh.
Let's move right into it.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
Not a lot this week.
No, I do want to tell people, though, I recently picked up on Blu-ray the Mel Brooks collection, and I noticed there were a couple of notable absences. One, of course, is The Producers.
Which is really surprising. Why would that be missing?
I don't know. And you know what? It has not been released on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not a Blu-ray disc you're holding in
your
hand.
No, it isn't. But I wanted to tell people that this movie, should not be missed. Because it's terrific. And you can get the deluxe 2-disc set right now over at Best Buy for only $4.99.
Nice.
So go to your local Best Buy. 2-disc for $4.99. Not available on Blu-ray yet. Which we can understand, but it isn't available on Blu-ray. So you might want to check it out over there at the Best Buy. And there were some new releases, weren't there?
Invictus came out this week.
Right, that Valentine's was the, Day. Well, let's take them one at a time,
I'm sorry.
Sir.
Invictus.
Yes, that was the Oscar-nominated
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman about South Africa and rugby.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day starred everybody.
Right.
There were at least 30 people in that movie that has a name that you know.
As a matter of fact, the cover of the DVD is just little pictures of everybody's face. Yeah. And it's literally like 100
That came. So. I don't know how well or not well that movie did. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it came out relatively quickly on DVD. Maybe it didn't do that well.
Extraordinary Measures with Harrison Ford and
Brendan Fraser. I did hear that was a good film, but no real interest in seeing it.
And The Messenger came out this week also.
The Messenger?
That was Ben Foster, Woody Harrelson. Came out this week also.
What was that?
That
was a war movie.
Yeah, yeah, it was a war
movie. Yeah. He, like, Woody Harrelson was nominated for that, I think. Wasn't he Oscar nominated
for
that?
Oh, was he?
I think he was. And he like delivers the messages that the people are killed.
Oh yeah.
Ben Foster's the new guy he has to train or something weird like that.
I believe that is the case.
There was a Kevin, what's his name? Kevin, Bacon movie that was very similar, I think, to that.
Maybe the
year before.
Oh, I don't know.
Not sure.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Yay.
And other books to check out. You know what? Comics are so overshadowed, I think, this week by, I think, isn't that Brightest Day business?
Yes.
Isn't that all beginning?
70,000 books came out this week that were Brightest Day titles.
So all of them came out. And the only comic that I really feel the need to mention is American Vampire number 3.
Of which number issue number two, great read.
Yeah?
Great read.
Okay, terrific.
I'm
so,
really digging it.
Yeah.
And
well, there
actually,
it is.
Actually, real quick, I should mention a book that we didn't mention last week that came out that was kind of interesting, I, Zombie, new Vertigo book that came out last week.
Okay.
Also a pretty good read.
Okay. A couple of other things. Streets of Gotham number 12 came out. This is one being written by Paul Dini, who did the animated series, which is a good thing. Wall-E.
Right.
Number 6, which is, I think, still a terrific book. Those are really all the regular.
Did the Green Arrow book, did that come out this week?
No, sir. I don't think so.
Is that next week, maybe?
Maybe it's next week.
All right.
A couple of trades to check out. I picked up John Broome and Murphy Anderson's The Atomic Knights.
Okay.
Welcome to the post-apocalyptic world of 1986.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy talk.
Collected here for the first time ever is the complete original run of The Atomic Knights, which appeared in Strange Adventures throughout the early 1960s. So this is reprinting all of those great Atomic Knights stories from the 60s in one fine volume. Going to run you about $40. Go to dccomics.com for more information on that. It's a terrific, terrific book. You really should check it out.
So. Okay.
Nice reprint. And speaking of beautiful reprints, you're a fool if you don't go out and grab Alien Legion Omnibus number 2 from Dark Horse Comics, darkhorse.com. To check out more. $24.99 is going to get you some 1 million comic books in reprinted herein. I don't think it's a million, actually.
All right. Fair enough.
I think it's a million. It's 325 pages, sir.
That's impressive.
I know. 300. Damn, that's a lot. So it's printed slightly smaller than the original issues. But that's okay. You still get every inch of the art, the beautiful coloring. I think the graphic novel, the oversized old school. Remember when graphic novels were old size and old school and oversized?
Yeah.
That one is in here also. Yeah, it's terrific. You got to check it out. Alien Legion, one of the best.
That's like your favorite book of all time.
It's like one of the best science fiction action comics ever.
All right.
So check that out. That's Omnibus Volume 2 from Dark Horse Comics. Dark Horse is good for putting out these omnibuses.
I like the Dark Horse Omnibus.
I'm getting the Star Wars omnibuses, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And speaking of Star Wars.
Yeah.
From our friends at Workman Publishing.
Okay.
We got a really interesting book. It's called Star Wars, a Scanimation Book.
What?
By Rufus Butler Cedar.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, and he also created New York Times bestsellers Gallop, Swing, and Waddle. Now,
okay.
This is 11 iconic scenes from Galaxy Far, Far Away, it's called. And pretty much what it is, sir, can you see this? You open the book.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And it's just a little scene that's animated. And it animates as you move the book.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and there's 11.
That's cute and interesting.
Yeah. So 11 little scenes. Luke fighting Vader. Looks like
it's all iconic scenes.
Yeah,
I'm assuming
Jango Fett flying away in his backpack. It's like Obi-Wan fighting that thing in the pit.
In the pit.
Yeah, and
wait,
looks like
Obi-Wan?
Yoda.
Obi-Wan fighting what thing in the pit?
In the arena, the Geonosis.
Oh yes, yes. I was thinking classic trilogy. Sorry.
Right. Sorry. No, it's all of them here. There's Obi-Wan also fighting Darth Maul.
Right, right.
In here as well. There's Yoda doing some lightsaber works. There's C-3PO, R2-D2. Luke and Leia swinging across the crevasse. There's Luke on the Tauntaun. There's AT-ATs walking and speeders wrapping the legs up. That one's really cool.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Luke versus Vader circa Empire, appropriately for the anniversary.
This year. Yeah, absolutely.
The 30th anniversary. And if you only knew the power of the dark side, Darth Vader shaking his fist at Luke after he, you know, cuts his hand off. And the second Death Star exploding with the Falcon flying out of it. Closes the book. That's another really awesome one.
All those innocent workers.
Look at that. You're going to bring that argument up, are you? So there it is. That's from Workman Publishing. Check it out at workman.com or starwars.com or scanimationbooks.com, scanimationbooks.com.
All right.
So it looks like Lucas Books involved in this one as well.
Nice.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
We have product?
Just a couple of things nice. I wanted to mention. You know, what's with these toner boxes lately?
Well, I don't know what's with them. Oh, you can't get them open, right? Like the cardboard swells.
They're like
somehow
welded shut.
Yeah, I know.
So this week's toner release, it's Power Girl from DC.
She is large. The healthy.
16 inches tall. What do you mean? Oh, you're going right for that? She, yes, she, of course, Power Girl, known for her large bosoms.
Correct, her large bosoms.
Yes. She comes with, of course, gloved hands, ungloved hands, boots, cape, the whole nine yards, a beautiful toner piece. There she is. She's 16 inches tall, a terrific addition to your toner collection. Also, from the Star Wars, the official Starships and Vehicles collection, this is number 15 in the set. This is the Imperial TIE Interceptor. Now,
yes.
What is a TIE Interceptor, you may ask? TIE Interceptor is like a TIE fighter, except the shields on the side, you know,
right,
that are just like, well, at the front part, they come to like 2 points.
Points.
Yeah. And it's a more, I think it's a quicker, more attack style vehicle that may have came later on in the
Yeah, like the process. TIE fighter is like the tank, right? And this is, or maybe not the tank.
I think this one's a little more advanced.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And that said, you know, if I were to open this and read the little magazine that comes with each one of these metal figures,
right,
I would find out all the information I needed to know.
A plethora.
That's what comes in the little magazine
nice.
Part. Then you get the nice metal miniature. It's mounted in a display case, and it has a background in the display.
I like the display cases.
Yeah, they're really
nice.
I
like those.
They're really, really nice. So that's number 15. I'd like to tell you where to go to check these out, but they're European.
I'll post the link.
Oh, do you have a link for these?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Somewhere?
If you go back to the last time or two times before, oh. I think the link was posted.
Well,
then
if you
too,
find
so
the link, OG, God bless you. But, of course, if you want to see pictures of the TIE Interceptor piece that we're talking about, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Check out the photo galleries for episode 192, and you'll find it there. If you're listening to us on your iPhone or your iPad or using iTunes or
right.
QuickTime, you can see some of the related images come up as we're talking.
It's very fancy.
Yeah, it's a feature
High
we
tech.
Like. We like it. And one final thing to close out. This was an odd duck of a thing, but I had to get it because it was the Joker.
Right.
This is a brand new DC Comics original 30x40 fabric poster.
Huh.
Yep.
Right. 30x40 fabric.
Right. So it's think wall scroll.
Okay.
No poles.
Oh, see, I like that, though. And I'll tell you why. Never bends.
Yep.
Never gets frayed. Never
Absolute.
Creases.
Take it down. Fold it up.
You're done.
Soft as silk. Durable, vibrant, won't rip like paper. Hang anywhere you please.
That's says what I'm screaming.
The back of the package. It's the classic image of the Joker from the, I say that's the 70s.
And I'd say that if you want to, these are frameable.
Yes.
You can frame these. Mm-hmm. Mountain frame? Absolutely.
Yep. 30x40. That's pretty big.
That's a large, yeah.
30x40, what's that?
It's
12 times 3.
It's just under 3 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
And just over 4 feet long.
Under 4.
Just under 4 feet long.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty big. Well, there it is. I think they might run around $12 or so. Not bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. Nice item. Comes in a tiny little package, too, man. They really have folded that down. But it doesn't look like
actually,
anything is tightly creased, which is interesting.
Like 2.5 by 3.5.
Is that what it is? Something
yeah,
like
I think
that?
So.
Size-wise?
Yeah.
Well.
That's it.
See you next week. No.
No? Oh.
We still do the wrap-up show.
Oh, right. Well,
and
we have to take a break.
Yes, and we'll do the wrap-up right after this break from Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 192, Steampunk.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
I love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 192, Steampunked. We started off tonight's episode.
Whoa. You have a format. You don't just run over stuff. You don't just say, and we're back, and you just run.
What am I running over?
What, and what is, you just run through it? Is that how it goes?
No,
it
go
doesn't. I don't say, oh, gee, what do we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, that's fine.
Have you said your piece now?
No, it's fine.
I was just
Why respect the format after 4 years?
Maybe it's
192 episodes. Who cares?
Yeah, come on.
Change. Format. That ain't happening until July. Oops.
The show changes all the time.
Big change, July.
Not really.
Yeah.
Well, it's really going to affect.
The whole name's going to change. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, all right, big change.
You might
July.
Be giving a little too much away right
Not
now.
Not yet.
Let's say this also. All if right. you're in the northern New Jersey area and you'd like to give the producer's chair of Big Kev's Geek Stuff a shot,
a little go.
Yeah. Get in touch with OG, geekstuffog @gmail.com, and come down and hang out.
We should also say a quick apology for those of you expecting to hear the date of our 200th live event extravaganza
yes,
this week.
We will have that.
We will have that next week.
Next week.
Because our meeting, our planning committee meeting,
yes,
was postponed until
tomorrow,
the day right. after we record.
Exactly.
So since we haven't invented the time machine yet, it will have to wait a week.
I'd say it's late July, early August.
I would say that's right.
Right.
I would say that's about the right time.
And there'll be food.
There and in theory drink.
Yes.
In theory guests. Mm-hmm. In theory a show.
Lots of theories.
In theory me. In theory you.
Lots of theories.
It's that's really
pretty solid theory that you'll be there.
It's pretty
me,
solid.
Me
always shaky. Never know.
Never know. I could pop in.
Yeah. Hey guys, how's it going? Gotta go.
See ya.
I got other things to do.
Okay, now, OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Tonight we talked about Universal Soldier 4. We also talked about Shia LaBeouf shitting all over Transformers 2 and Indy 5? 4? 4? Yeah, 4. We talked a little bit about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Fox and Disney. We talked about heroes going away. We talked about Flash Forward going away. We talked about the coming up of the cape and No Ordinary Family from NBC and ABC, respectively.
Yes.
So you should check those out. We also opened the show by talking about the steampunk World Fair.
Yes, that we
attended last weekend. Mm-hmm. And for more information on that convention, you can go to steampunkworldfair.com. And I'll post a link to some of those vendors and to that con as
well. Yeah, you should.
On the site.
That would be awesome.
And I think from there, we moved into segment two.
Where we talked about DVDs, including the producers, not a Blu-ray version available, but the regular version, two-disc special edition now available for $4.99. $4.99 over at Best Buy. So check that out. And there were some new releases.
Yeah, Invictus, Valentine's Day, Extraordinary Measures, and The Messenger.
Right.
Would be the disc that came out this week.
And we also talked about some comics to check out, which included Wall-E number 6, Streets of Gotham number 12, American Vampire number 3.
Excellent read.
And a couple of trades, the Atomic Knights collection hardcover from DC. And Alien Legion Omnibus Volume 2 from Dark Horse Comics.
Nice.
And we also talked about from Workman Publishing, Scanimation Books, and StarWars.com. All of these, you can check this out. It was the Star Wars, a Scanimation Book, 11 iconic scenes from Galaxy Far, Far, Far Away.
Far, Far Away.
And then finally in product tonight, we talked about three things. One, the latest release or re-release, because they released in the UK first. The Star Wars, the official Starships and Vehicles Collection, number 15, the TIE Interceptor, Imperial TIE, the Imperial TIE Interceptor. Jeez.
That's a tongue twister for you.
And from Tonner, of course, another terrific DC figure, Power Girl. She's voluptuous. She's beautifully sculpted, a beautiful character figure from Tonner. All the absolute perfection you would expect out of Tonner. And finally, it's the DC Fabric poster. I got the Joker. I think other ones have come out. 30 by 40 inch fabric poster. Going to run you about $12. New thing they're trying. So
nice.
That.
I think that's about it. So don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, including the old Studio V's. If you've got a thought on the show, something you want to share, something you want to comment, something you want to hear us talk about, you can give our voicemail a call, 425-920-6050.
Wow, this is the first time.
Let us know what you think.
This is the first time we have not mentioned that hotline like a bazillion times in an episode.
I know, but you know, it's we're putting it out there.
Right.
And presumably, you know, you're going to the site while you listen to the show. You're checking out the photo gallery that's available for each and every episode. Hotline right there in front of your face.
There you
can
go.
See, you can watch, see, oh, I want to give a call.
You know what else is
bam,
over there?
Bam. Why?
The donate button.
It is over there.
Still over there. Still able to help out the show if you can. Give us a couple of bucks via our donate
button.
And
again, thank you to all of the people who have done that. We should say something we haven't talked about on the show in a while, but if you'd like to advertise on the show or sponsor an episode,
now
that
would be
option is available.
Yeah, now would be a good time to get in while the prices are low.
Now would be a good time to take advantage of getting something on the site.
Get something locked in now, because pretty soon,
for the world to see,
could be a lot of traffic coming to that site.
Just saying that site traffic probably going to escalate pretty significantly in the near future.
Yeah, a lot. So yeah, good opportunity for you to do that, and as well as getting a commercial on the podcast.
Oh yeah,
you can,
absolutely.
Write OG about that if you're interested as well.
Absolutely, and I think that's about it.
Great.
Do you have anything else to add?
I'm just going to say, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. Despite those nets of tuna feats, we thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots and your friend and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long,
so long, so long. change one thing. We would all